Linda Ellett Fee, I'm getting there. You are the president of Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge. Welcome.
Thank you.
So good to have you. Now, we have a fun story from the weekend. Would you like to tell it? We met.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
I went to the Idaho Trails Association meeting, and you were there, and we met there.
I know. We hadn't met before, and this interview was lined up, and we didn't put it together either, because you were just Linda, and I was just Julie, and then here's Linda waiting to come into the studio this morning, and we're like, wait a minute, we know each other.
Yeah.
That was fun.
These people that love the outdoors.
Yeah, and like to help out.
Yeah.
And we run into each other again and again, which is pretty neat. All right. Well, Linda, if you would, please tell us just a little bit about yourself. How did you come to live in the area, and how did you get interested in the National Wildlife Refuge?
Well, I've lived in North Idaho for about 40 years, and with almost 30 of those years working for the Forest Service. I left for about 7 years to go to Washington for employment enhancement, and then we came back almost 13 years ago to this area. And then I retired as the district ranger from the Kootenai National Forest from the Troy District
in Montana. Yes.
Yeah.
So you weren't far from this National Wildlife Refuge.
You were right.
Just east of there.
Yeah. And now I live in Boundary County, right near the border of Boundary and Bonner County.
Okay. So you're not too far from Sandpoint. And you're retired, obviously, and somehow you learned about this wildlife refuge and started helping out.
Yeah. So living in the area, I visited the refuge. I loved it. And after retirement, I still wanted to have some sort of a stewardship responsibility on public lands. And I found out about the Friends group. I always enjoyed working with people and doing environmental education when I worked for the Forest Service. And I knew that this Friends group did a lot of that and volunteered on the refuge during work. And it just seemed like a great fit for me. So about 10 years ago, I started with the group.
Wow, that's a nice long history. And now you're the president. How long is your term? Do you still have a couple of more years?
Well, we don't have terms.
It could be the rest of your life.
So it could be as long as the person wants to do it.
Oh, that's troubling, because once you have that job, it's hard to find a replacement, I would guess.
Yeah, we do kind of trade off a little bit within the board, but but it's been great.
Yeah. And I just like to do this as often as possible during programs that might allow people to want to look up your information. So I like to mention contact information a few times during any of these interviews. So you are at, I think I have the right email or web address, and I see here Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge.org. Is that it?
Well, there's a story behind that. We could no longer continue to pay for our website, because we had to completely redo it, and it was going to cost us more money than we could afford. So we decided to drop the website and went to a Facebook page.
Okay.
So the Facebook page is knwrfriends@gmail.com. If you get on our website, the name has been bought by another group. It's funny, because all our information is still on there, but the group that's highlighting themselves on there is called Bazaar, I believe, and they represent an immigration support group.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good that we talked about this, because now people will be able to find you at Facebook.
They say we're partners with them.
Oh.
But it sounds like it's a noble cause they have, but we aren't partners with that group.
Okay. Good to know, listeners. Go to Facebook to find Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge. All right. Now, I've got questions, Linda.
Uh-huh.
And it starts with, what is a National Wildlife Refuge? We've got U.S. Forest Service land, we've got state land, we have BLM land, we have so many types of land, and adding to that is National Wildlife Refuge. Help us out.
Okay. Well, I will start with Idaho State. The state of Idaho, all the wildlife and the animals in the state of Idaho are property of the state of Idaho. And but if there's a threatened or endangered species or the migratory birds are under the purview of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Migratory Bird Act of 1918 established some wildlife refuges for waterfowl protection. And that was kind of the beginning of the wildlife refuge system, but it's under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay, so it's U.S. Fish and Wildlife designation. Okay. And what does that really mean then? I'd like to know, what does that mean to people who might want to come out and visit this place? There must be certain special rules that wouldn't apply elsewhere.
So with the wildlife refuges, I'm going to paraphrase these mission statements for these different agencies and things, but it's essentially a network of lands and waters for the conservation, management, restoration of fish and wildlife and plant resources and their habitats within the United States for the benefit of present and future generations of Americans. That's the mission statement of the wildlife refuges system.
Okay.
And so they manage the habitat for the animals that are in the state of Idaho.
Okay.
That are the property of the state of Idaho, but they manage the land to protect, for particularly the migratory waterfowl, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is particularly for the threatened and endangered species.
Okay, so there can be a lot of animals that are being sort of taken care of on this refuge.
Yes, well, all of them, yeah. Essentially.
However, I was talking to a friend about this refuge, and he remembered at one time that there has been duck hunting. Does that still happen?
There's duck hunting, yeah.
Okay.
And there's deer hunting. But it's the deer hunting, there's disabled deer hunting, there's disabled blinds for bird hunting.
That's a terrible thing to do to deer, hunt the disabled ones.
Oh, you didn't. Yeah. No, sorry about that.
Bad joke. First bad joke of the morning.
Real bad joke. So for disabled hunters to be able to get a permit, they can apply for a permit through the refuge, and there's fishing.
Ah, so really it's a refuge in so many ways, but other things do happen, hunting.
And it's limited. So if they want to know when they can hunt ducks and geese or when they can hunt deer, they would have to call the Fish and Wildlife Service there. I have the phone number here if you want me to give
yes,
it.
Yes, I think that'd be great.
It's 208-267-3888.
Okay.
And then they will be able to tell you exactly when you can do that and how you go about doing it.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk more about just the physical existence of this refuge. How long has it been a refuge?
It was enacted in 1964, even before the Wildlife Refuge Act was established in 1966.
Wow.
So it was more established through that 1918 Migratory Bird Act.
Okay.
And it was because if any of you are familiar with the large Kootenai River Valley in Boundary County, that whole valley was essentially wetland with the river running through it. And then when the agriculture started and farming started, it was ditched and drained into canals and channels. And so in 1964, through that Bird Act, they established that wildlife refuge to put that area back into the wetland environment as it was before, as close as they could get to. And so the waterfowl, particularly, could still have their habitat there that had essentially been lost from all the agriculture
all
development.
That drain tile and ditching and all that, so mm-hmm. It wasn't as wet and marsh-like, not great nesting habitat until you guys took it over.
Right. Okay. Fish and Wildlife.
Yes, Fish and Wildlife. Okay, and how big is the refuge?
It's almost 2,800 acres. And it was procured through purchases mostly.
Through Fish and Game? Through U.S.?
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, wow. the refuge system.
So they just worked away at getting pieces of land until it was large enough for what they considered a good nesting refuge. That's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And I don't suppose you have any idea what amount of money had to be spent to get this big refuge.
I don't.
No.
That would be interesting to find out.
Right, but it's a great one. Well, there's a lot of many activities that can happen out there. Mm-hmm. Describe some of them.
Well, there's all sorts of trails. So there's hiking. There's an auto tour route that's about 5 miles long that is interpreted. And you can drive it or bike it, walk it. You could cross-country ski it. It's typically closed in the winter with the snows. You can cross-country ski it in the winter. And there is picnicking. There's a little picnic area there. There's fishing and hunting.
Yes, yep, the fishing and hunting. And we'll get into the programs that the friends help with, but then there are also opportunities for education and all that. But that'll mm-hmm. we'll get to that after our song break. Yeah, it just has a great variety of possible outdoor activities. I've been kayaking up Deep Creek, which is, mm-hmm. I think that's within the refuge still.
It's on that eastern, kind of the southern eastern border over there of the refuge.
Yes, that's a really wonderful place to get out and see a lot of wildlife. I think I've maybe need to explain, or one of us does, where is this refuge in case there's one person listening this morning that doesn't know where it is. Tell us where it is.
Well, it's west of Bonner's Ferry. So you just go into Bonner's Ferry, and before you go over the bridge, you take a left and you take the Riverside Road all the way to its end, and there's the refuge. You can't miss it. It's beautiful, and there's a big sign right there that says you're entering the refuge. It's a beautiful place to go if you haven't been there.
And I think it's free. I don't remember ever spending money going in there, so.
Oh, it's free.
100%
yeah.
free.
Uh-huh.
And there's a very nice building that the must be for staff and also for presentations. It's pretty neat. Tell us about
there's
it.
There's a few buildings there. There's the office and what used to be like a visitor center where people could go in and get materials and everything. They have, because we went through a time with COVID, and then due to a lack of staffing, they ended up having to lock the doors there. Now they have, they're starting to get some staff back, filling some positions. The door will still remain locked until they can do some renovations to the office inside for mostly security measures. But if you knock, you know, somebody should answer. And so you'll be able to get your questions answered and everything. And then what our friends group mostly uses is a large old homestead barn there. From the original homestead that was there, that was purchased for the refuge. And it is where we hold most of our presentations.
It's
and it
building.
Has a lot of education materials in it, and a lot of, birds and animals that have been gone through taxidermy. And, it's a very interesting place.
Yeah, it's a fun, that's a fun experience to get into the barn there. And I was thinking about this too. You all partner with the National Refuge, and there's another, I don't know if that'd be described as a partner or not, but there is another piece of land, and I don't know if it's adjacent or almost adjacent, but the Nature Conservancy mm-hmm. is up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's further north. And they've done similar things with establishing some of the wetlands and protecting them. They also work with the people up there. That would be a great interview too, somebody from that nature conservancy. Yeah, they work with ranchers and everything, and farmers as well.
I couldn't agree more. That's going on my note sheet. Thank you. Already an idea for another morning show has come from this morning show. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, and their management strategy might be slightly different than yours, but in general, wanting habitat and nesting habitat and all that. So I think they would be a great one to talk to and hear what their sort of what their mission is.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Well, Linda, what do you like? What are some of your favorite things about the National Refuge, Wildlife Refuge?
Well, it's so beautiful there. When you go there, it's just very uplifting. And also just the birds and the wildlife. And you can watch. The refuge has over 200 species of birds. And there's sometimes if you're lucky, you can see a moose walk through, a coyote. They've had all the large animals come through that refuge. The one that I'm not sure about when I was thinking about this program was whether a caribou ever made its way down to the refuge when they were still up in the Selkirks. I'll have to find out about that. But all the other large mammals have come down and made their way through that refuge. And then they have many fish species, amphibians and reptiles and wildflowers and plants. And it's really the beauty of the place. And being able to see something that in a way that you can see it, how it looked possibly before development.
And, you know, it's so easy to get places, and the viewing stations are so convenient. You feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere. Just amazing vistas of the river valley. It really has an interesting mix of landscapes that are all awe-inspiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really.
You're
are.
Right.
They're great.
The waterfalls and the timberland and all of it.
Yeah, the creeks and the big river and the little tiny creeks and just the variety of wildlife. We saw it when I kayaked the creek, we saw two moose.
Oh, you did?
Yes, it was great coming up out of the slow part of Deep Creek there as it enters the Kootenai, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
Really fun experiences there. And
yeah.
Just big varieties of birds too, spring uh-huh. and fall and also summer.
Yeah.
So great. Well, that's good to know, things that you love. I think, listeners, we'll take a short song break, and then we're going to come back and hear just about everything that the Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge work on, the things that you all do over there. So without further ado, we'll say, let's go ahead and hear, and I haven't listened to this song in a while, so hopefully it'll be one we'll enjoy. It's Bluebirds Over the Mountain by The Echoes.
Birds over the mountain, seagulls over the sea, bluebirds over the mountain, bring my baby back to me.
Well, all right, that was The Echoes with Bluebirds Over the Mountain, an oldie but a goodie, I would have to say. The year is 1962, which sort of almost lines up with when the National Wildlife Refuge became a wildlife refuge. All right, listeners, for those of you just joining us, this is KRFY. We are listener-supported, commercial-free community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, your Tuesday morning show host. And a reminder to you listeners, if you have any fun ideas for morning show programs, get in touch, and we will do our best to make that happen. And joining us this morning is... Here, we're going to try it again. Linda Alette-Fee. Oh, I think I've got it. Linda, you are the president of the Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge, and now we're going to start talking about that organization. But first, we wanted to talk about partnerships, basically. Mm-hmm. Who else is on this land and helping you and surrounding
okay,
you?
Okay, so then you have the Idaho Department of Lands, okay. Which is another natural resource agency in Idaho. And their typically made up of timberlands, especially up in this neck of the woods. They are endowment lands, and they're managed for financial returns to the public schools in Idaho and other trust beneficiaries. So they also assist Idaho citizens in protecting and managing their own land for natural resources. You know, so they're another natural resource management agency, but their main mission is to provide funds through their timber management for the schools and other trust beneficiaries. But then you also have the Idaho State Wildlife Management Areas. We call them WMAs, and there's several across Boundary County and Bonner County. There's one up at MacArthur Lake, the ones that people around here are probably familiar, MacArthur Lake Wildlife Management Area, and then the one down that's in the lower Pack River.
Yes.
Where Rapid Lightning comes through is a wildlife management area.
And there's one up way up on the boundary of
Canada,
I think,
right.
Too, right? Near Smith Creek or somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that a WMA?
Mm-hmm.
It seems
that's
like
that's a
it
WMA
is.
Up there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, I think there's another one or two even in Bonner County. But they're under the purview of Idaho State Fish and Game. But their mission is to Fish and Game is to preserve, perpetuate, and manage Idaho wildlife resources. And so these WMAs are there to manage habitat for that.
And is it specifically for hunting or not really? It's for all wildlife, isn't it?
It's for all wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has some water, you know, waterfowl parts to it as well, and helping with that migratory waterfowl. MacArthur Lake and the Lower Pack River and all of that. All those waterways are that way as well, and the WMAs as well. But they do allow some trapping and some hunting. They would have to speak for themselves because I am not an expert on all that. This is just kind of some paraphrasing some of their mission statements, just so few of the differences between the different agencies.
Yes, and that they're kind of similar, but of course a little different. Trying to do similar wildlife habitat,
mm-hmm,
sort of things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And of course the IDL is to produce finances for schools. So some of these other agencies aren't particularly to make money, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have the National Forest System and the BLM, who are similar in some of their missions. They're multiple use, so they have everything from managed timberlands that provide finances for our nation and our counties. The counties receive a portion of the money that's made off the national forests, and they receive titles if they have national forests in their counties. There's all sorts of title funds through the government that they can receive hundreds of thousands of dollars from.
Yeah.
And they also manage mining permits, ski resorts, grazing permits, all sorts of recreation and designated wilderness. So, and BLM is similar. They just have more of the grazing land. So that's the natural resource agencies that are in Idaho. We have a lot of them. We're lucky that way.
Right.
To have so many public lands that we can do so many different things on.
And I once read, I don't know if this is still 100% accurate, but I think when I was considering moving here, I read that the wild lands that are not available for development are something like more than 60, between 60 and 70% of the state. That's a big piece of a large state to be set aside. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they may not be able to be developed for private housing developments or anything like that, but particularly the Forest Service and the BLM and the IDL, they do have timber management and activities on them, though.
Yes,
that roads and different things on them that. But
yes.
It is to provide all of it is to be provided for the public.
Yeah.
Public use.
Yep. It's like a combination of, as you say, timber and recreation and so many uses kind of together that
mm-hmm.
they need to manage the hunting and then of course the welfare of the plants and animals of the state
mm-hmm.
and the nation.
Yep.
So it's an amazing complex web of understanding these lands that have been set aside for various reasons, and I really appreciate your taking the time to explain that for listeners. Though, we've learned that, and now we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about your work with Friends of the Kootenai National Refuge. So tell us now a bit about their history and mission.
Well, our mission is to help with the refuge and their mission, and to provide education opportunities for natural resource and conservation efforts, and to volunteer for the refuge. What we mostly do is provide conservation education programs, natural resource education programs.
Yeah, and what a great place to be doing that. Lots of opportunities to learn and see as you're educating. Yeah. So, and how long have you been out there helping your group, the Friends?
Well, they were established in 2006.
Okay.
So a lot has been happening ever since then.
And your helpers for the staff out there, and I don't know how large the staff is, a couple of people, more than that?
Well, there's only three permanent staff.
Wow.
Year-round permanent staff. They used to have more, but they don't now. They do bring on more people in the summer. There's usually a biological technician that comes for at least, 5 months or so. They used to have YCC crews every summer. That helped a lot. They haven't had them through COVID, and they didn't have them this summer, but that might pick up again.
Yeah.
And then they usually have volunteers that come out there and actually live for the summer and help. You have campground hosts that live for the summer in like national forest campgrounds and state campgrounds. And so it's the same sort of thing where they come out there and live. They usually bring a big RV or something, and they help for the whole summer doing things.
Oh, good.
So they do have help in the summer, but there's only three permanent staff.
Okay, so year-round. Pretty small staff. I'm sure they appreciate everything that you all are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, you've said that your kind of the main mission is environmental education. Let's talk about what types of things you're doing. I've been to a bird identifying day there, and I think that was you all.
I think
you guys were the ones who did that.
Yeah, the Friends group, we conduct bird walks every third Saturday through the summer. We aren't doing them anymore now, but they'll pick up back up in April or May, depending on weather.
Right.
And then we do them throughout the summer. We have all sorts of workshops and speakers that come. We have had everything from geologists, archaeologists. We've had speakers on all forms of wildlife. We've had bat walks, owl walks, art shows. We had Jack Nesbitt come and talk about the whole David Thompson exploration at one time. We've had tribal members speak. Our most recent ones is we had a fly fishing workshop where we partnered with Trouts Unlimited.
The Trouts, I know them, and I was invited to help out, and I couldn't make it that day, and I was disappointed because it's always fun to get up to the refuge and help out.
Oh, and that was a great workshop. We had a lot of people come, a lot of kids.
Oh, nice.
And they were able to go out to a small lake that's near the refuge and practice fly fishing. There was rods available for everybody. And then we have another real successful one where a lot of people come is our photography workshops. And so we have a lot of professional photographers that come from North Idaho, all over Northern Idaho, and they'll set up stations around the refuge and they'll teach photography.
Nice.
And we've just had we constantly are having programs. Last fall we brought Birds of Prey Northwest, who's a common program that we put on. Come to the elementary school in Bonner's Ferry, and the tribe helped us pay for that program.
Oh, so nice. And those folks come from St. Mary's, I think.
Right, yeah.
So they made quite a journey to be able to talk with you.
Yeah, with their birds.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I think kids love those kind of programs, and it really comes back as a benefit when we all get older and appreciate the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, neat. That's a neat one. And you mentioned that Trout Unlimited has come and helped out, and usually that's through you guys. You get it organized. So you invite other organizations to augment your own organization's education programs, which I think is great.
And we're always looking for other partners.
I'd like to put a plug in for mushroom identification. Have you ever done one of those yet?
I don't think we have done a mushroom identification yet.
That's a good idea. You have lots of different
A lot up there.
Yeah, up in the trees, getting into the shadier parts. I would think that would be rich in mushrooms.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah,
nice. And any other really great educational programs that you've had that might come around again?
Well, we always like to do, we've talked about doing the trout, the fly fishing workshop again, hopefully, if Trout Unlimited is interested, because that was so successful and people really loved it. And we'd like to do our photography workshop. We've done a couple of them. We'd like to continue to do that one. We usually typically every few years bring Birds of Prey Northwest up. But then we just have all these others. We had a bullfrog program. That was over the winter and this last winter. And we have an invasive bullfrog that's come into our country here, and they're actually eating our indigenous frogs, and we're losing them. And so we had a bullfrog program to teach people about that.
That's a great one. And just invasive, you know, species in general is a great topic. But yes, for example, at Round Lake State Park, you'll hear those bullfrogs. They're invasive. They've really kind of made their way around the panhandle by now, these bullfrogs.
Yeah. It was interesting in that program. We had a biologist come from Canada and then a state fish and game biologist from that boundary WMA that you were talking about up by the bear. They put on the program and they actually had a video to show people how they could fish for these bullfrogs.
And do they?
And you know, the people eat the frog legs from these bullfrogs. They're huge.
They're big frogs. If listeners have not seen them around, they don't just sit around for you to look at them. They kind of hide a little bit, I think. But when you do see one, they're very big.
Yeah.
Really big.
After the program, one of our board members brought a feast of frog legs that he had cooked in a few different ways. And we all ate them after the program. And they're really pretty good.
Are you going to tell me they taste just like chicken?
I mean, they're good, but I don't think they taste exactly like chicken.
Okay, but I've had them, and I think they're pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Yeah, listeners, there's an activity if you're looking for something to do, if you've run out of other interesting activities around here. It's hard to run out of interesting activities, but if a person would want to go ahead and become a bullfrog hunter, I don't even think there's a season, is there? It can be done whenever.
I don't think so. I don't think there's a season, no. Yeah, and they could talk to somebody at one of the WMAs, the managers at the WMAs that we have in the area, and they'd be able to tell them how to do it and what to use for bait. And there's a certain, they throw them in a bucket. When they catch them, and there's a certain solution they put in there. And anyway, they could find out about that.
Well, one bait we don't want to use would be other frogs, I guess.
Right.
Oh my gosh, third bad joke of the morning. How many more can there be? Oh, dear. Well, that is interesting. And so many interesting programs. And we've been talking about partnering. You've partnered with Trout Unlimited. Let's see,
the tribes.
How about other, I'm just kind of thinking about other organizations that you may have partnered with. What about the Master Naturalists? Do they ever get involved?
They've come up, yeah, they've come up. We have had some Master Naturalists that do our bird walks, in fact.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, and then here in town, we have the Kinnikinick Native Plant Society, and I don't know if they've done anything that far north, but that's another possibility.
This is what we're doing now. We're putting in a pollinator garden.
Nice.
And we used the book that the Kinnikinick Plant Society wrote.
Good.
And have talked to them. We have a member from their group that talked to us as well. And we did our research. And so we've built the fence and we've started the first phases of putting the pollinator garden in. It's right near the office up there. you want to go see it.
And another great opportunity for education. If it's labeled and that kind of thing, people love to know their native plants.
Yeah, we're hoping to do that. It's a work in progress right now. We need volunteers to help. And but we're only using native plants as the pollinator plants.
Way to go. I think that's a great way to, you know, do an exhibit in a wildlife refuge, National Wildlife Refuge. I was going to move on to what do the Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife need in terms of help? And I just heard volunteers. Are there other needs that you're wanting to have met, maybe donations, et cetera?
Well, we'll always take donations. We have to pay many of our speakers that come and speak. We would love to have more memberships. It's only $10 a year per person or $15 per year for a family. With that membership, you get into our programs that you have to pay for free. We would love to have people come up and help us. For example, the refuge has asked us to help them plant some of their wetlands in their fields here in a few weeks. And so the Friends group is going to help them do all those plantings. They have 2,500 bushes and little trees and things they're going to plant out there, plants that are native vegetation. And even if somebody is interested in being on the board, we have 6 people on our board of directors, and they're all very hardworking. And one of them had to resign recently. She was our secretary because she has elderly parents that she has to move to take care of for quite a while. And so if anybody's interested in being a secretary for our board that loves the wildlife refuge and what we do, we would love to have you contact us.
Good. A good shout out. And remind listeners again of how they would reach you for any kind of volunteering or just getting information.
Well, they can. The easiest way, the best way, is to email us. And I'll see the email, and it's knwrfriends@gmail.com.
Okay. So, listeners, if you want to get in touch with this organization, that's the easy way to do it. And you can still go to Facebook to learn about what's happening.
And the Facebook page, you just get on Facebook and ask for Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge, and then you'll get on our Facebook page.
That sounds very easy. Can they send you an email via that route, too? Is there a way to? If not, I understand. And it's an easy, knwrfriends@gmail.com. I've got it right, don't I? knwrfriends@gmail.com.
Good. Correct.
Very good. All right. Well, we've talked about the interpretive programs you work on, the monthly bird walks, which must vary quite a bit from month to month. I'll bet it's a different experience each month.
Yes, it is. Yeah. In the spring, of course, when we have all the water and they're migrating, we'll have certain species that show up. There's species that are there all through the summer and even year round. And then things start drying up a little bit in the fall, but we still have a lot of songbirds and shorebirds. And we still have the bird walks that go into September where you still see a lot of beautiful birds and waterfowl. We had something that happened on the refuge this year that hasn't happened for 30 years, and that was a pair of sandhill cranes that came and fledged a couple babies on the refuge.
Wow.
And they're sure that at least one of them lived, and they were able to migrate south here probably about a month and a half ago now. But that was a big celebration.
That is a big deal. You know, sandhill cranes, it's so nice to see them, their ranges spreading out again, and it's just really a fun experience to see sandhill cranes.
They're
fun. They're pretty and interesting birds. And I know that every kind of bird has a name for flocks or babies and that. And I learned this summer, but it's a fun term for a baby crane. And I bet you know it. But it's, if I'm right, it's those babies are called colts, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a great name mm-hmm. for a baby bird.
Mm-hmm.
A colt. They are leggy.
They are cranes. Leggy. Yeah.
I understand why they get that name. All right. Well, thinking of other interesting things to talk about, we've mentioned that you could use new members, and it's a very affordable membership. Volunteers are welcome, and donations. Any other needs, like donations of any materials or anything?
Oh, I'd have to think about that one. There might be.
Yeah.
Even native pollinator plants, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
If people have any, they have to be native to Bonner Bounty, Kootenai Bonner Boundary County area.
Yeah, but that's a great idea. This is the time of year when people's plants have spread out, and sometimes they need to, you know, separate plants or make them smaller. So you might get some takers.
Yeah.
Good idea. That's a good idea. And 2,500 small plants to plant, you'll need a gang of volunteers to help with that, because that's an awful lot of plant material to get
mm-hmm.
in there.
I guess that the refuge is going to make the auger holes.
Oh, good.
So that'll make it much easier.
That should help.
And so we should be able to just plug them in and press the dirt around them. So, but the refuge did go through a huge realignment of their waterways and everything with the tribe. Now, the refuge, not the Friends, but the refuge partnered with the tribe all summer to kind of reestablish the original waterways through the refuge instead of having those straight channels and ditches.
Yes, and so, I've seen them. See those, and they look very agricultural.
Yeah.
They do.
So they restored the meanders
in
the streams and waterways in the refuge. And so they had to do a lot of work and a lot of dirt work. And so that's why we're having the big planting pretty soon.
And that should be good for many types of wildlife, I would think.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, an improvement. Good mm-hmm. deal. Well, Linda, as we come to an end of our hour, it's gone so quickly. It really has, hasn't it?
It has.
You were wondering if you would have enough information to share, and I said, I think so. And it looks like we've done it again. Mm-hmm. We've spent most of our hour on interesting conversation, which we appreciate so much, listeners and us here at KRFY. But just as we come to an end, I thought I'd like to ask you, basically, what have you appreciated most about spending time at the refuge? And in addition to that, what might you recommend listeners think about doing if it's a first visit to the refuge?
If it's a first visit, I would take the auto tour road. You can drive it, take your binoculars, and the views are fabulous. And you'll be able to see all sorts of birds and wildlife out there. You'll fall in love with the area. There's a hike up to Myrtle Falls, which is lovely, and the falls are beautiful. And on the southern end of the district, there's another hike of the refuge. There's a hike that you can go along Deep Creek. It's a kind of a dike trail along Deep Creek, and that area has all been restored now. And I drove by it the other day, and it's full of water, and it's just beautiful. And the colors out there this fall are just extraordinary. So,
a reason in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's fall color time, and if listeners haven't gotten out and done a little bit of that, what a great way to start getting to know the wildlife refuge.
Yeah.
Like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very good. Well, Linda, is there anything I've missed? Anything else you'd like to share?
I think you covered it. Just inviting people to come out, look at it, appreciate the refuge, and if you want to become a member, be sure and send me an email.
All right, very good. So I'm going to thank you, Linda Ouellette Fee, from Friends of Kootenai National Wildlife Refuge. But you've been so much more, because you've shared information about all of the other partners that help out at that refuge. It's been a great learning experience for me, and I can't thank you more for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, listeners, we're going to go to a song break, and this one was picked by Linda. I think it's a good one. Fly Like an Eagle from the Marshall Tucker Band, and I'll be back for a short announcement or two, and then on with the rest of the week. Here it goes.